Rich Kimble here, along with Kerry Haskell, Bruce Pratt. It's time for Sports Lit 101, and this time around, talk about a book that we discussed a couple of weeks ago on the show entitled Idols and Underdogs, an anthology of Latin American football fiction. Joining us on the G&M Family Market phone line, one of the editors of the book, Sean Stein. Sean, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
One of the things I mentioned when I talked about the book was that you don't have to be a soccer fan on any level to find these stories to be really great and engaging stories. One of the things, and I know you agree with that, one of the questions I have is, do you think the stories in here are, for people who don't read much Latin American literature, a pretty good indication of the kinds of things they'll encounter if they do?
I think that people who aren't familiar with Latin American literature are going to find some tendencies that you will find in Latin American literature. These stories tend to use some of the similar narrative strategies that you find in other authors, contemporary authors. These are all texts that were published post-1980s. I think... for example, you're not going to find any magic realism in these texts. They tend to be more urban or perhaps rural, but more provincial settings. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does, because I guess the point I was making is most people will know Borges or Garcia Marquez. And think of that as being what they think of as Latin American literature. I mean, at least as an English professor, I know that's what my kids think. And I found these stories to be so character-driven, as the best short fiction needs to be. Do you think that is something that really resonates through all of these stories, that they're about characters?
For sure, yeah. I just want to make a side note. It's interesting that you've mentioned Borges and Garcia Marquez, both who have actually written pieces on soccer, not as character-driven, as you might imagine, particularly
right.
With Borges. I think, you know, these are very sort of human stories. You see sort of a range of experiences and crises of identity and ethics and morality, and coaches who are being pressured to bend the rules in order to achieve victory, and youth players who are struggling with fitting in and not being given playing time, and there's our story from Bolivia by Edmundo Pastolan, who also happens to be a professor at Cornell, is about a murder that takes place on a field during a retired professional player star league, it's all about figuring out why the player that murdered the other player sort of lost his head.
Yeah, one of the things I really like that you did with this book, and I wish more collections and anthologies do this, is there's an interview with every author, and while you don't ask every single one of them exactly the same question the same way, they all, you ask them all what role football played in their life. And for fans out there, we are talking about that other football. We've been talking about American football earlier. Did you find that to be something that the authors were really glad to talk about?
It's such a diverse group of authors. We have 11 authors from 11 different countries. I don't know that what you've already said about the book, but we wanted to create what we were calling sort of a literary Copa America. So the traditional Copa America being the South American qualifying group countries, the there are 10 of them. And for the past decades, Mexico has been invited as a special invitee to the Copa America. And so we all, invited a Mexican author as well to make the number 11. And I think, you know, these authors, some of them are very well-established, award-winning, bestseller, you know, different range of successful authors. Some of them are up and coming and not very well known. Some of them have written more pieces about or with soccer in the plot or characters who are involved in the world of soccer. But yeah, I think some of them were very excited to answer the questions about the questions about the role of soccer in their life, or the question that we asked them about how writing and soccer fandom might have some connections. Others were sort of more cagey and reserved about answering those types of more personal questions.
We're talking about Idols and Underdogs with Sean Stein here on Downtown. Because of the great love for the game, Sean, do you think these stories provide us with a pretty good window into everyday life and what the culture is like in these countries?
For sure. And, you know, this was one of the criteria that my co-editor, Nicolas Campisi, and I had established when we were trying to pick 11 stories to represent 11 countries. You know, we actually got into a bit of a spat with our Scottish publisher because they wanted the title to be an anthology of the best Latin American football fiction. And, you know, there's just such an enormous corpus of soccer fiction out there, but we wanted stories that were going to be very representative of soccer culture from within these countries. So we felt that, you know, first of all, our first criteria was just, you know, literary quality. We wanted to sort of make the genre shine. But we also wanted stories that felt very authentically Argentinian, Colombian, Peruvian, you know, so that you sort of felt like you were being taken to a field, a soccer field, whether it's, you know, we have stories that are amateur, informal youth soccer even, as well as professional, but that you were, so there's a wide range of levels of play, but that you were being taken to a story that was taking place locally.
Well, before we let you go, I want to ask you one sort of final question about this. And you certainly got literary stories. I mean, the writing throughout every one of them is great. We live in a country that has four major professional sports. And it would seem to me that is why maybe we're only interested in international games during the Olympics, you know, or during a world championships of some kind. It seems, would you say that it's true to say that Brazilians care more about their soccer team, their national soccer team, than any other thing to do with sports in their nation? And is that essentially true for all of these 11 countries?
I try to avoid generalizations about all Brazilians, but I can tell you, for example, that I spend a lot of time in Brazil, and soccer is everywhere all the time. It's as far as its importance to individuals, I think, you know, it's about patriotism, how patriotic you are. Brazilians, it's very interesting, happen to sort of have experienced a really strange World Cup in 2014 due to the political and economic strife and chaos. And it's become sort of out of fashion to wear the Brazilian national team jersey. I was just there this summer, and you used to see Brazilian national soccer jerseys everywhere, and people aren't wearing them. I talk to people on the street and colleagues, and people just they don't feel very patriotic, and so it's harder for them to identify with the national team, and they're kind of focusing more in on their club team or other forms of soccer. But just to completely answer your question about all of these countries, I do think that, you know, for sure, the soccer is the dominant sport in all of these countries, except for perhaps Venezuela. It's a completely different sporting experience than what we have here. And I agree with you that the only thing that compares is the Olympics, but it does not. It's not even a good point of comparison, because we don't get as into the Olympics as a nation, as a people, as most of the soccer nations around the world do around these big tournaments like the World Cup or the Copa America.
The book is entitled Idols and Underdogs. Sean Stein, thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And I hope we'll see you in Kansas City.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep.
Take care, Bruce.